Yep, I got 5:30. We'll call the meeting to order then.
How you doing, Paul?
Good, Dean, yes.
Good.
We have the, I'd entertain a motion for the approval of the June 1st minutes.
I'm over.
Okay.
I'll second.
Okay. Everybody have a chance to look at them? There were good additions, deletions, corrections? Okay, then all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Yes, we'll pass them along. Resolution 254, I know there are some people who want to speak on that. A new version of that has come out over the last couple of days, so I think in fairness to the people that do have some concerns about that, we're probably going to delay that resolution over to August, but I, Don, I know you had mentioned that some folks were going to show up and wanted to speak on that, so you, I don't know the folks, but if they want to...
Let me start it for them so that they get a place to move with it.
Okay.
First thing you should know that I'm speaking as an individual tonight, not as a legislator. I went through the ethics board to find out what I can and can't do, and thanks for Cappy for helping. I know where I can go and where I can't go, so anything I say tonight has to do with my business and not has anything to do with the legislature. I reviewed, excuse me, the new proposal, and it is markedly better than the last proposal. However, there are still major concerns that I have in wording and things that are unique, I would say, to the industry that you wouldn't know unless you're involved in it and you can see how it might work. So I'm looking and I'm hoping that there will be people with knowledge as this process moves forward to be considered for information, to be questioned, to be have their opinions as to why something might be better than something else or not, or a better way to do something. And with that, I've got some suggestions here. I'll hold them off till next month. I don't want to do that, but we're happy to have.
Can you move it first?
Yeah.
Can you wait a second?
Yeah.
Sure.
I messed up.
That's okay.
We're gonna. Just want to move it for discussion, since we have some people. So, if somebody wants to just make a motion on the resolution.
Well, you know, first off, it's pretty hard to have a discussion when neither sponsor is here.
Okay, but. A couple of people just want to speak, and then we're going to...
I know, yeah, I'll move it for that, but
okay.
Otherwise...
Okay, all right, so then discussion.
Okay, I'd like to introduce to you Jonathan and Iris Osias. They were formerly had Festival Promotions, which was a long-time show in Kingston, up down
at... the Armory.
The Armory.
17.
And they've got a great place over in the town of Hurley, one of the stone houses, and they probably know or forgot more than I'll ever know in this business. And we were chatting, and they said they'd like to come and speak to the committee.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I have read the second draft of this bill, and I notice, as compared to an item that I saw several years ago, I'm now exempt again from paying a fee for a license, for an additional license. However, let me start at the beginning without going through it paragraph by paragraph. The purpose of the law, if it has any merit whatsoever, is to catch people who are stealing and potentially people who are fencing stolen goods. Nowhere in the intent does it say that directly and straightforwardly, but that has to be the intent of this law. Now, from a personal point of view, as I said, I've got an exemption because we have been in business here for over 45 years. And to the best of our knowledge, we have never dealt in stolen merchandise. Now, I will make one general comment about the sheriff. In those 45 years, I have received no more than 5 lists of stolen merchandise, which I was supposed to make sure I did not purchase, which came from the sheriff of Dutchess County, 3 from the sheriff of Ulster County, and 1 from a private individual whose place was robbed. I have the only successful plan I have ever seen operated in this county was when we ran a sting operation not too far from this building, where people were invited to bring the stuff in for sale. That was successful. There were some charges brought, and I assume some people were punished. Now, we have had a few dishonest dealers in the past. I knew one of them, and yes, he did go to jail for something like 7 years. But as far as I know, his two sons who are in the business are reasonably straight. They have never done anything out of line with me. If a undercover or a man in uniform has ever walked into our shop and asked a question, we would answer it without question. It doesn't take a law to do that. In fact, if I refused to let him look around the shop, I would immediately become suspect. My stuff is out and open. There are some general qualities in here. I will tell you, for example, that fully 90% of my merchandise is purchased outside of this county. Therefore, anything that's been purchased outside cannot fall under the rules of this and cannot apply to me, as I understand the overall laws. I also note, just as a, oh, by the way, that I have not seen a repeal of the gold and silver precious metals licensing law, which still exists, as far as I know, on the books of this county. So this is redundant in that area. What is the most odious portion of this? And the part that will cost the county ultimately more money than anything else. And that is, can you imagine getting 60 or 70 emails a day with lists of merchandise sold, which is what this thing calls for? And that involves use of my computer, which, by the way, has none of my business on it currently. I don't use it as a personal computer. It is not used by my business. There has been just too much and too little, and I don't think this is the right way to go around catching miscreants or fences. This will do neither and will take a great deal of manpower just to review the sales records and everything else, notwithstanding the efforts of the people who are involved in the business. That's basically what I have to say.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we'll take that under advisement. And I know Don, Mr. DeGioris, will pursue that as you go through with everything. So with that, committee, what would we like to do with the do you want to delay it till next month? Withdraw the motion.
Chair? Yeah, I'm not prepared to address this.
Yes, I had emailed this resolution is being pushed through the Chiefs Association. I had emailed Joe Sinagra. I don't know if you guys reached out to him. He's the one that's the most versed in all of this, and asked him to come here tonight. Yeah. So if the chairman could ask him to come at the next meeting,
we'll ask him.
I mean, that'd be great. And you know, we don't have a Chiefs meeting in July or August.
Okay.
So, but I will tell him again to please come here. He's the one through the Chiefs Association that was really the most knowledgeable about the resolution, or about the law.
Okay.
Well, that's because he is the one that initiated it many
years
ago. A
long time ago,
Many years ago, and this is something obviously he has a personal interest in and continues to try to get something passed through the counties. This is nothing new.
Yeah, I don't know if he has a personal interest.
Well,
or
I mean,
or
as a law enforcement, I don't mean him personally.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I'll get him.
All right.
So...
Well, I've already heard.
Yeah. So, well, motion to table till next month, then?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Resolution 255, setting a public hearing for False Alarm Reduction Act. If you look at the... I know. I always forget that. I'm glad you're sitting next to me. I have a motion on 255 for discussion, at least.
Thank you.
Motion.
I'll tell you the only other concern.
Motion on 255 to move for discussion.
No, I'm not in favor.
I have nothing on it.
No, but I need a motion so we can discuss it at least.
There's no motion. There's no discussion.
I know. Well, then I'll second it for discussion. Okay. Just one thing that's going to come up is on page 6. There are no, under the penalty phase, penalties for false alarms. It has zero for first and second false alarm, $50 for the third, $200 for the fourth, and each one after that.
That's section 8A.
And then if you go to page 7, it has penalties for operating an alarm system without a valid permit. That's $50, $100, and $200. So if people are okay with that. If we are, and then if there's no other discussion, I'll entertain a vote. It's just setting a public hearing. Don?
I don't know enough about it.
This one I don't have a conflict, so I can...
I don't know enough about it. And first off, this again, you're hitting a small business. If I have a small business and I have somebody put in an alarm system for me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't work properly. I'm responsible for it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that doesn't make sense to me. I would think the person who's installing it, if anything.
Okay. And I'll play devil's advocate. So go down to 911 center and sit there in Samaritan Village in Ulster Heights on Briggs Highway when their alarm system goes off about every hour and a half. It happens about once a month. And then I got every fire truck in Ellenville and every chief responding to a fire alarm. So what do you think that...
So it happens every month.
It happens a lot, yeah. It probably,
every month?
Yeah. And sometimes it'll happen 4 or 5 times in one night. So, we talk about small business guy. Well, think about your emergency people that are responding, both fire and ambulance, police, everybody else, to these calls that end up being nothing. And as long as you fix it, if you look at the penalty phase, $0 for the first and second false alarm. So it doesn't cost you anything. It gives you an opportunity to fix it.
Well, I'll wait until I have an opportunity to speak to the local, my City of Kingston Fire Department and Police Department.
Okay.
Excuse me. You already have one in the City of Kingston,
yeah.
So you'd be exempt.
Well, and obviously they're not having a problem with it.
I've never heard them having a problem.
No, that's okay. Go ahead, Dean. And then Don. I'm sorry.
You think if they had a lot of people, business people, fined, I wouldn't hear about it?
But they have the law. I'm sorry, I didn't want to talk out of turn.
I'm not.
And I can understand what TJ is saying. I remember in the town of Sorbies where I live, in the Barkley Heights area, when they first built their ARC and moved their people in it, that was all on automatic alarm there. And I remember for the first 2 to 3 months, you can guarantee 3 out of 5, 7 nights a week at supper time, that alarm was going off for a piece of burnt toast because it was too sensitive. And our local fireman kept going and going and going. Oh, excuse me. And it wasn't until our chief went and put his foot down to have them correct it, and then they finally did. So I could see the nuisance. And the bad part with that is, too, the repeat calls, is that you get so many repeat calls, then you get less and less firemen coming out. I'm talking now on a volunteer level.
Right.
Because they feel they're just wasting their time, and then God forbid that you should have a real emergency, you might have half the people there that you need to take care of the situation.
Right.
So it does happen, and if it is happening, it should be addressed.
How many towns have their own false alarm law? Do you know?
I think it's eight of 23 or something. We had that
This is a war.
Oh, yeah.
Well, maybe we should be better to reach out to the towns and have them put their own local law in, and they're the ones dealing with the ones they know where the problems are.
Right, but, you know, the sheriff responds. You know, the sheriff's patrol responds to that false alarm, or state police responds.
Wouldn't he respond to any?
But when he's running from Cragsmoor to Ulster Heights on a possible fire, and it ends up being a false alarm, and now there's a motor vehicle accident in Spring Glen, but he's on his way to Briggs Highway, what do you do? And the onus behind
so
the...
So how is it going to change? Just how
well,
would it
because,
change?
Well, because it's like the homeowner that says, you know what, it's cheaper for me not to shovel my sidewalk and let the city come in and shovel it. This puts the onus on the homeowner or the business person to take care of something that's broken. And, you know, once they pay one fine, if it goes that far, they say, you know what, this cost me a couple of dollars. Let me take care of it. Let me fix it. This is about fixing something that's broken, not about collecting a revenue. This is about fixing a wrong. And until you put some responsibility to that homeowner or business person to fix it, what do they care?
Could I get a list of the 8 towns that already
I think
and I'll
have
check in the city of Kingston to see how many false alarms.
All right, Don, I'm sorry.
They've been to over the last.
Two quick questions. How many towns don't have their own police? 10?
Town of Kingston.
Town of Hurley.
Hurley doesn't.
Town of Hartford. Yeah. Town of Dunning.
Worsing.
Town of Worsing.
Well, I'd like to have a list.
I don't have to have an exact. I'm in favor of what we're talking about, that people have to get the fix. No sense in doing what we're doing. What I'm not happy about is hiring an attorney that gets approved by somebody that it's not going through the courts. I think the value of our court system is such that people get to see somebody being charged, they see a disposition of it. If it's in their township and if it's a town issue, that's great. We have, essentially, we're hiring somebody suggested by the sheriff's office that gets approved by the legislature that then will impose the fines.
Would be the sheriff.
No, the fines are listed in the resolution or in the law.
Well, he determines guilt.
The other counties that I included in this packet tonight, it's always the public safety committee that listens to the appeal, so it would take it out of my hands. Well, so if we put that into the law, that would be great.
Unfortunately, I don't have a copy of that. But my basic my basic feeling is that we had something in Woodstock, and I think it was the Stewart stores. The story goes, I won't say it's for sure, but I think it is.
It is.
The alarm would go off in the middle of the night all the time because when the air conditioner went on, streamers kept going and setting off the motion detector.
I remember reading that.
Yep. So the bottom line here is that we're just looking to do a public hearing.
It's a public hearing.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
Well, I would suggest you consider, for whatever reason, that the towns don't have a law, or in another sense, we have to look at, say, okay, if they don't have their own police department and we're paying for the sheriff, everybody else is paying for their own police departments and for the ad valorem costs that go into the sheriff's department, we're paying for them not to do it. So that what I would love to see is that, and maybe it's impossible to do, but what I would love to see is having, if you go to the 3, but then you're going to have natural disasters and things. If your alarm gets set off,
that's covered.
It's covered in there. But if you go to somebody who is a judge, if the law isn't strong enough, we ought to have the county law, which you can choose. Which if it's a nothing law they have, you can choose to use the county law. I don't care how we do it. The thing for me is that you have a judge that's been elected by people that are sitting down, and it's in front of the public. And it's not going on an ad valorem. And if anybody's not doing their job, we should take the steps to make them do their job, regardless of who it is. So that it's like any other thing. That's
so not all. John first.
Number one, in the health department, if somebody gets a citation from an inspector or food service person, it doesn't go before the courts. It goes before their own people. The DEC, the DEP, most of them have hearings. And if you've been in violation, they impose the fines. It does not go to the court system. Now, I've always thought that would be a little unfair because it's an easy way for the department to raise revenue. Just tell their administrative judge, whack them. Number two, the false alarms desensitize the firemen and the emergency service people. Constantly in the mountains, we would be getting, you know, automatic alarm, 600 Colebrook Road. And after the fourth time, nobody shows up.
That's my point.
And to say that if I put one in my place and it kept going off and I didn't have some responsibility, I think would be sad. Because you know what? It's not a dollars and cents thing. You've got these men and women racing down the road, possibly to save your property or a life, and they're risking it for an automatic alarm that, if it's real, it's not a false alarm. But if it's just a glitch in the electrical system, which often happens around this county, and it triggers the alarm to go off. So I don't think this is punitive. I think it's going to try to help.
Correct. You had something.
Yeah, just a couple of small things, very relatively technical. If the sheriff revokes a permit, what happens in the interim period? Somebody can't have an alarm. You revoke a permit in the interim period.
Okay.
I know there's another provision in here that says the county won't be liable. I'm not sure that the county can decide whether or not it's liable or not. But if you revoke a permit and there's an interim period, and then something really bad happens and there's no alarm, I think that says something. And so we can certainly work on it. We can certainly work on the wording. But that could be maybe problematic. And the other thing is the section where we say the county is basically saying it can't be liable. I'm not sure that that's not void for public policy, but otherwise I think it's...
Okay. Yeah, I would like some kind of report to show me how many false alarms the sheriff's office had to respond to in the last, say, 2 years. And what makes you think because somebody has to pay a fine... That's going to stop, you know, what you're claiming tonight is a big, you know, is a big responsibility.
It's the same,
you know, in other words, I own a store.
I understand.
And I've had three or four false alarms. All right, I got to pay what, $100. Isn't it his obligation to still respond? And how many?
Yeah, we're not. But that's not. You know, it's kind of like, I'll use the example, you get caught for speeding. Okay, so you go to court and pay the fine, but what you really worry about are the points on your license and the possibility you could lose your license. Well, if the DMV said, you know what, as long as you pay the $200 fine, go on about your merry way and there's no points or anything else, people would speed all over the place because it doesn't cost them anything. It costs you a couple of dollars, but it doesn't cost you anything. Well, because... You know what? So the alarm went off. They woke me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Well, now if a couple of dollars comes out of the guy's pocket, now he thinks twice. Well, maybe I'll call in the alarm company and fix it, or I'll do what I'm supposed to do to fix it. And if they don't, then they pay the price.
Aren't owners called anyway when an alarm goes off?
Yeah, but the point is, if they fix it so the alarm doesn't go off frivolously or with the air conditioner or whatever the case may be, then they don't get called, then the sheriff's not responding, SP's not responding, the fire department's... I can tell you, in Samaritan, when the alarms go off, one of the chiefs responds, he investigates, then he calls out the trucks. Now, God forbid it's a real fire, well, there's going to be a delay. But there's a delay, and that's why there's a delay. So, what's your flavor? It's a public hearing.
Can I just answer
one
question?
Yeah, go ahead.
So far, for the first 6 months of this year, just the sheriff's office were 652 false alarms.
Can I have that report?
Yes, I will get it to you, minus I take all my notes off of it. I'll get you the one for the 2 years. If you take that 652, double it for this year, and then double it for 2 years, which was what Jeanette asked for, is 2608, give or take a few hundred, I guess, for false alarms for the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. You know, less than 5% of that turned out to be real. Out of those alarms, those are alarms that we handled, less than 5% turned out to be real. And when you get the report, and I'll give it to the whole committee, you'll see how many businesses and residents are on there 5 or 6 times. So I really think
that's not fire.
Right. I really that's just not fire. That's just burglar alarms for us. And I think that when you, if it gets to a public hearing and if the full legislature gets to hear, I think the law will have a good effect on getting not only homeowners but the businesses to fix their alarms. You know, take your things off the ceiling so the air conditioner, when it kicks on, doesn't make us come to your business.
John, last.
On your point there, Mr. Chairman, I make sure that I put more money in the meter so I don't get booted outside here because there's a penalty, or else I just wouldn't worry about it too much. So,
what's your on? It's a public hearing. Dean?
Let's call the question. I move to have the public hearing.
All right, so all in favor of the resolution? Aye. Opposed?
No, I'm opposed. Okay. I don't have enough information. I'll get information.
Did John vote? He did.
And I did have one other question, that those towns that have their own law and their own police department, does the sheriff's office still respond to them?
Depends.
It absolutely depends. If their cars are tied up or we're a closer unit, mm-hmm. then we go. But it's also, it should be in the law that they can, if they have their own law, they can request those statistics from us and we'll give them, like we do in Esopus right now. Esopus, they give us, I don't know, every 4 or 5 months the alarms, and then we give them all our information.
I don't know. I guess I just find it difficult to understand the mentality that a business person just has doesn't feel responsible and doesn't care and has this frivolous attitude that they don't care how many times their alarm goes off. I find that really
Jeanette,
difficult.
With due respect, I mean, if it continues to happen in the same place, you got to draw the line somewhere.
Well, I
Where do you draw the line? How many
times? I don't know.
Let it happen.
Does the sheriff's office go? Is it his responsibility?
Yes, it is.
To walk to him? I don't know.
All right.
This is the first I'm hearing about this.
If I could, Legislative Provenzano, I'll tell you this. I was worked on this with Council Rigucci, and it seems to be a universal problem because I cannot tell you the plethora of local laws and ordinances that are out there. In fact, the Chiefs Association, the National Chiefs Association, the National Sheriffs Association, and the False Alarm Association came up with a model for, local law. They came up with a short version and a long version. So it seems like throughout the state there's a ton of them. Throughout the country, it's unbelievable. So it's a universal problem that people are not taking care of their systems.
Yeah, well, just like
so
I
just
don't
want you to think that it's just
local.
Okay.
It's a huge problem.
All right, Resolution 259 authorizing.
Just one last thing, if I can just get on the record saying, if anybody has any questions between now and the public hearing, email me.
Okay.
Or come and see me or something. I already know what Jeanette wants. Jeanette, if you want to know anything else, get a hold of me. Other than that, I will get your questions answered.
Yeah, I'm going to check
answered.
With our local, we have our own
but
police department,
I'll get you the 2 year
you know.
Statistics.
And
for sure.
I'll check and see how many false alarms they have to go to. And
they should have that.
Because they might, might be a big problem there, too. Yeah. I'll check it out.
Resolution 259 authorizing a 60-day extension for reporting to the Elsa County Legislature the findings and recommendations of the Elsa County Coalition Against Narcotics. Motion.
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
Second. Okay, John. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Okay, so passed. Resolution 270, Project Give, authorizing the chairman of the Elsa County Legislature to execute an agreement with New York State Division of Criminal Justice Services, Project Give. It's the District Attorney, Sheriff, and Department of Probation. Sheriff, do you know anything or want to speak on it?
GIVE used to be Impact, Operation Impact. It was a gang and gun violence reduction. Now it's called gun-involved violence elimination.
Okay.
Act. So it's just accepting money to do some
enforcement. Okay. All right. Motion?
I'll move it.
Second?
I'll second.
Other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Very good. 271, appropriating funds, district attorney's forfeiture account. We do not have the DA here, so we'll omit that. That'll be next time around. 272, setting a public hearing for proposed local law number 11 of 2015, a local law establishing the Elster County Animal Abuse Registry to be held Wednesday, August 12th. 272 and 273 are local, setting local laws with some regulation for pet sellers and animal abuse registry. I don't know if anybody on the committee has really had any opportunity to read these laws, and if not,
no, it's 28 pages. I've scheduled time to go over it with Tracy. It's very long and very involved. It's very, very, very well-meaning, and it will be fine. But council does need some time.
Works for me. Next month, but we'll make sure you get copies of them so you can look at
them. Well, why don't you just... We'll make our decision next week. We'll just ask
because
for
we
copy.
Just got it. I won't be here next week, and we just got it Friday or Thursday.
Yeah.
It's 28 pages. It's very complicated.
You can make a decision next week.
No, yes. So you want to delay the month.
Yep.
Yes, if we could.
And I don't believe that's the sponsor's intention, but...
Excuse me, TJ. Going back to 271, we're not doing anything with that.
Nope.
Until the DA comes next.
Until the DA comes or sends us an email or something. Yeah. If he gets it to us.
Is there any reason why Legislator Runk is not here tonight?
I spoke to him earlier. He had something going on.
He's got some important legislation here, and
unfortunately, he had something unexpected happen. So.
And I don't know if he'd want to delay this month. I don't know if
that's not my understanding.
Yeah, no, I spoke to him. And
he said yes?
Yeah, he said, look, I don't think people in committee have seen it. It's
Can
extensive.
Anybody contact Legislator Archer?
Yes, I spoke to her today.
And she said she waited a month?
I didn't ask. She has no problem with delaying it. I didn't get a time period. But she has said if it needs to be looked at, she has no problem with. But we didn't talk about a month or any time period.
If everybody puts it, it's extensive. If we read it and... Want to schedule a meeting next week prior to college? We can do that.
They spoke with the sponsors of the bill.
Resolution 288, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into the county New World Systems. It's the Ulster County Sheriff. Sheriff, wait. Entertain a motion. For discussion.
Did you be moving it for
I'll
discussion?
I'll move it.
Okay, second. Okay, John. All right, discussion.
That's our New World's our records management system. We're due for a mobile upgrade.
Okay. It works for you? It's good?
It works not only for us, but for a lot of the other agencies.
Okay.
Wow.
Cool.
Right. Just for an upgrade?
Yeah.
Wow.
Any other discussion?
I'll make that too.
All in favor?
Nothing's cheap.
Anybody opposed? Okay, so moved. Okay. Sorry. We also have the sheriff's report is attached with the phone revenue, which is down, and boardings are down because of Dutchess County.
Correct.
Okay. But we still made a couple of dollars.
We'll make our anticipated or budgeted revenue for boardings, okay. Even if we stay at the $33,000 for the next 6 months that we made for the month of June. The telephone revenue, I'm not sure it's so bad yet. The less number of inmates, the less telephone they're using. But when it comes to the telephone revenue, we don't ever spend more than what's budgeted. So as we go through each month, if we see that we're not going to make that to whatever it was, then we just don't spend that. So we're good on that.
Okay. Any other discussion on that? Not? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, and then any old business that we haven't covered?
I know.
New business? Okay, Don had one other person came in after the our discussion on Resolution 254. So, Don, if you want to introduce her.
This is Jane Maurer. She and her husband, they own and run the Woodstock Flea Market, and they're interested in law that we've, the hearing that we put off until next month.
Thank you, Chairman, and I apologize humbly for being late. I was trying to follow the thing on the internet, and I guess I got it wrong. So I'm here to talk just briefly about proposed local law number 8 that's on your minds and on our minds. I'm Jeanine Maurer, as Don said, and John Maurer and I, it's good to see you all. Jeanette, it's good to see you. So we run the flea market in Woodstock, and we've done this for 38 years. And so we're just here just giving a brief, small voice to more than hundreds of vendors of ours that are what would be called in this proposed law secondhand dealers, okay? And we think that we understand the reason for this. I mean, we get that when people have things stolen from them, because that happens to us as secondhand dealers on a regular basis, and it seems like, but it's small, petty stuff, and it's nothing that you would want to have a big law like this for. And so we want you to understand that we get that there's a need to try to do a little more investigation and reclaim things that have been private property that's been stolen. However, we just want to make sure that our voices are heard about this, because the proposed law as written, as we've read it, and we've only gone through it a couple times because we're just really finding out about this right now as it's coming before you guys. Without a doubt, this law as it's written places an unfair and unreasonable burden of investigation and data collection on the 99% of the law-abiding citizens that we know that are secondhand dealers. And they're, you know, we're sort of like we're being asked to help capture the 1% who are breaking the law. And it's not just our flea market. I mean, it branches out into Phoenicia. It is in High Falls. There's different vendor sites that are going on throughout the county, and they're great economic generators here in Ulster County right now. And the vendors that we've spoken to thus far are looking at it, they're going, no way. This is too, and I'm going to just be nice, it's too much to do for them to do, to be able to have to document the things that they're being asked to document. So those are the concerns briefly. We're going to be contacting each of you individually and just try to talk a little bit more, see if there's some way that this can be reworded, changed, or some way to help solve the problem without placing this unfair burden on secondhand goods dealers, which most of our vendors are. It does have a potential to hurt the economic engine that we're trying. Tourism is what we're trying to promote here in Ulster County. And if my vendors aren't going to go out and buy stuff, they're not going to have stuff to sell, and people aren't going to come into Ulster County and have a good time, spend their money, and their sales tax dollars are going to help run our county. So that may be an unintended consequence to just give consideration. And those are the things that we'll be talking with you over the next month, or, you know, hopefully get done real quick. But we'd like to give you a little more input and help you hear our side from the secondhand dealer side. So again, I apologize for being late. Thank you for the time. If anybody has any questions, you know, I'll do my best, but you know, we'll certainly be talking with y'all down the road.
And we appreciate you taking your time. And just as a reminder, we did pass setting the public hearing for August 12th, which is a Wednesday.
Okay.
And that's at 6:10 p.m.
And we tabled this one. False alarms.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Tabled,
yes.
Oh. Yeah. Yes. Just the chief sends her comments to the clerk of the legislature.
Okay. Why don't we just say that? You can say that.
If you have comments and suggestions, what I would recommend that you do is you email the clerk, email them to the clerk of the legislature, and then the clerk
so I
will
can have my vendors email the clerk of the legislature.
Yes, and they'll be forwarded.
And also, I know Legislator Gregorius, as a non-legislator, as an independent person, is also working on this, so
no, and we appreciate all his efforts. Certainly, yes. We do.
Yeah, I think this committee has a responsibility. You know, if we have people here asking to be part of the solution, they want. Why can't? It's up to this committee to go through what's being proposed, and one of them is a member of the committee, and he's a majority leader. You know, and we have the chairman. Why wouldn't you in our committee now? It has to pass before us. Why wouldn't you want to have those that businesses that it's going to affect to come in here, sit down, and have a conversation to find out what they're because I don't know. I'm not in the business, but I know a lot of people that use eBay, Craigslist, Espy. I mean, I go on those sites myself. And how
well,
does it?
I don't think we've actually set up the law. I mean, that's being worked on with the sponsors and the attorneys.
Yeah,
so,
but it's our you're asking this committee to pass it, and we're passing something we don't know anything about, all the ramifications.
John,
just in response, I just had coffee.
Did you?
With John.
Okay.
And we sat for a half an hour or more, and John Rees, I've known the folks.
We're on the same page, and we didn't even know it.
Pardon?
We're on the same page, John and I, and we didn't even know it. That's
and,
good.
And I was at their wedding, so we had a nice conversation, raised some very interesting points, and I assured John that you guys will be
well, and we would certainly
be invited to talk to the chair and the committee and
who if the sponsors and the attorneys, if anyone wants to talk to vendors, we'll just we can bring you however many you want, and they'll sit down and give you the big picture of what, especially I'm glad you brought up eBay and Etsy.
Yeah.
In the big picture, and I'm sure you guys realize this, a lot of folks that are doing this type of selling are senior citizens, they're on fixed incomes, and part of what they're doing here in all of these selling venues that are going on is they're supplementing their social security incomes, their retirement incomes, because they can't pay their taxes and they can barely make their electric bills. So this is really a big impact on these individuals as well as the other revenues that I was talking about. So going forward, we'll certainly get people to drive some information to the clerk of the legislature, and we're also available to bring vendors in to you guys if you want to hear their side of the story, and we'll give you more information. So thank you. Thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Maybe you should consider having a special meeting.
Well, then let's have one on the false alarm and every other law we do. I mean, is that what you want to do? And the animal
There's
registry?
No need to be sarcastic.
I'm not being sarcastic.
I'm
not being sarcastic.
You are being sarcastic.
But what you said was this committee has to pass this law, so we should be brought in on what's being discussed. So
you
then do you want to be brought in on every law?
If people come in here and have an explicit reason, they took the time to come here and discuss this local law, yeah, they should be heard.
They are heard. And when they send it to the clerk of the legislature, they can make us copies. But I'm not drafting that law. That's what the attorney and the sponsors are drafting.
They're drafting it, but it doesn't go anyplace unless it goes through the committee you chair.
That's correct.
Well, wouldn't you want all the information?
But again, we have two animal registry laws.
Well, if somebody come in here and oppose it, yes.
Do we want it?
Why not?
Do we want to then sit down and through every one of those? I mean, if that's what you want to do,
why not?
That's what you said. So
why not?
So when she
why
said,
not?
When anybody
I'm not
sends
in a hurry.
It,
I don't,
anybody
you know,
sends it to the clerk of the legislature, they can make copies and we'll look at it, and then we can go over it with the attorneys, if that's what you want to do.
Can I just throw something in? Maybe it's for both. It's difficult. This stuff is not easy. It's because there are so many unique parts to this business. And we haven't talked about consignment yet. We haven't talked about auctions. And if we want to play hardball, you make every auctioneer provide a certificate that he's licensed in order to get anything that they buy out of there. So then they take them someplace else. There's so many unintended consequences that happen over a simple thing that it just baffles me, because one word omitting or adding something. So everybody's right. We can't do it for everything all the time. I got that. But those things that we can do and people are interested and they come, we should do our best to hear it at the same time.
Right.
And somebody's got to draw the line. Somebody's got to say, this is what we're going to do and what we're not going to do. But I view more information.
But then let's also be careful that we don't open up a Pandora's box of sales tax. I mean, I can tell you, just about any flea market I've been to, I've never paid sales tax. So let's just be mindful of the doors we open.
Excuse me, can I just make a point of information, though? We're required to have everyone have a sales tax certificate by the state of New York. So,
you should know they're breaking the law.
Everybody's right on board with that in our flea market, and I can't speak for the other ones, but they are paying their sales tax to the state of New York. So.
Okay. All right. Anything else? Well,
last thing on that, if any comments that come to the legislature, if they can be referred to me, so I can get them to the Chiefs Associations, so at the public hearing they can address any concerns that the dealers have.
All right. Okay. All right. So we'll visit again. If Vicki gets a lot of stuff and you want to have another meeting before our meeting in August, just let me know.
The chair. You have people here. They're asking to be included in the conversation and the law. That's all I'm saying.
And we're including them. When they put things in writing to the clerk of the legislature, that will be given to the sponsors and to the attorneys for their consideration.
Mr. Chair, this has been postponed.
Yes.
Which is just exactly the right thing to do. It's not a rush. Ms. Maurer was given the opportunity to speak today and tomorrow and the next day. I met with her husband. There'll be plenty of other people who have a conversation with you or other members of the committee. If this moves forward to some degree, it'll be hopefully well vetted. And if it doesn't, it will be because it's well vetted.
Been playing with it for a while. Anything else?
No.
Motion to adjourn?
Yep.
Second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Opposed? Mm-hmm.